Welcome to Glory Beat, a podcast produced by the Church of St. Mary about interesting people and how they pray.
Hello and welcome to Glory Beat, interesting people and how they pray.
Each week we chat with interesting people about their lives, their work, and how they pray. I'm Sharon Hanisch.
And I'm Mike Malcolm.
Our guest today is Dustin Sanford. Dustin is the coordinator of youth activities at the Diocese of Tulsa in Eastern Oklahoma. Growing up, Dustin moved quite a bit due to his father's service in the Air Force. His family settled in Pryor, Oklahoma, when his father's service ended. Dustin earned his bachelor's degree in strategic communications from Oklahoma State University. After graduation, Dustin worked for AmeriCorps and was placed at Catholic Charities. When his volunteer commitment was over, he was the youth minister in Owosso at St. Henry's and later worked at Clare House as the program manager. Dustin and his wife, Abby, are parishioners here at the Church of St. Mary, and we are so happy you're here to join us.
Thank you so much.
Having me.
Yep, especially we're recording this on a Friday of Lent, so thanks for making time.
Of course.
Happy
to do this.
So you moved around quite a bit. One thing I didn't put in your bio, but that you mentioned, is that you did at some point live in Anchorage, Alaska. Where all did you live?
The longest stretch was in Anchorage. My dad, he got deployed to Korea at one point. So he was there for a year and we were still here in Oklahoma. But I was born in Texas, Wichita Falls, Texas, which I was there for 2 weeks. I think that's the way I was told anyway, before we got moved to Arizona. If I'm remembering correctly, I was a wee child for all this. So Texas to Arizona, we were there till my toddling years. And my dad got deployed to Korea and I believe we came back to Pryor for that year. So my mom could be, supported by family and whatnot. And then after he got back from Korea, I believe that's whenever we officially went to Alaska, which was, kindergarten through third grade, came back to Oklahoma for a year and a half, then went back to Alaska for fifth grade. And then after about halfway through that year, came back to Oklahoma again, this time at Broken Arrow. I want to say we went to Park Lane Elementary for fifth grade and then kind of just like bounced around the northeastern corner because this is where all of our family was. And Alaska was definitely the funnest place to live. A lot of people have the idea of, just growing up in the wilderness and they have the idea of Alaska. And the idea of Alaska is just the most accurate depiction of it. Like, it is just glorious up there. So
that's what I've heard. I have a friend who lived in Alaska and she loved it. She just loved it, and what an experience for you to have as a child. Did you grow up Catholic?
I was raised Catholic for sure. My mom was the only practicing Catholic for a long time until about I was a junior in high school. My dad came into the faith as well. It's kind of difficult to connect to a like Catholic parish community, bouncing around that much whenever you're growing up. But my mom always tried her best to like make sure that we got our sacraments, I don't remember having a parish community in Alaska, but my mom made sure that we got, first communion and whatnot. So every chance that she got, she would make sure we had our sacraments and mm-hmm. she was trying to raise us up in the Catholic faith as best she could. Yeah.
Okay. And then you mentioned, in some notes that you had given me that your kind of practice of your faith. So you were in high school, maybe you were an agnostic. Is that right?
Yeah. So around 10th grade, give or take about halfway through 10th grade, I got to this point where, I was in Pryor. Catholics aren't really a big demographic there at all. So I think I was like one of seven Catholic kids. That might be exaggerating. There might've been more, but, the only ones that you really knew of, there's like seven prominent ones. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I was surrounded by a bunch of Protestants and their understanding of like God and faith was, the way it was explained to me by them at the time, which now I'm older, I'm like, that's a very mm-hmm. basic understanding of things. But I was always told like, whenever you love God and you serve God and you do the things you're supposed to do, like you're just happy and life's good. And I was like, why am I sad all the time? Like, why am I anxious all the time? I was struggling with depression and anxiety and, I didn't know why. And I was doing everything that, I was learning at St. Mark, Like, I was going to confession, I was doing communion, I was participating service and everything. And I was like, so I'm doing all these things and I'm not happy. So either God exists and he doesn't care, or he just doesn't exist. But the thought of God not existing was too big to fully latch onto. So I was like, I'm just going to go with, like, he doesn't care. And I'm not going to, like, live in that ambivalence of not really sure, like, where we're at. So, yeah.
So you go to Oklahoma State. So, because we're talking about your faith journey. And I love how you shared that, because it just, it's, I know priests that is their story, you know, that there was a period of time when they were agnostic, you know, so it's just so interesting. And I appreciate you being vulnerable and sharing that. So then you moved to Oklahoma State, and tell us about, so were you still kind of, when you got there, were you still like, I'm agnostic, like God doesn't.
Oh yeah. 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 So my sophomore year of high school, all the way through, to going to OSU in 2016, there's this whole period of just like, you know what, I'm just going to do what the world says I should do to be happy. You know, just pursue all the materials, just experiences, X, Y, Z. The purpose of life is get a lot of money, get a lot of toys, and, you know, die with the most toys in the garage or whatever. Funny enough, my goal in life was to get tattooed from like the jaw down to the tips of my fingers and toes, to be a death metal vocalist. Cause I just got real immersed into the heavy metal culture. That was my goal. And so whenever I went to OSU in 2016, I was just thoroughly just, I'm here to party, have fun, and eventually graduate with a degree and then continue to party and have fun. But I met a focused missionary. His name was Colin. The way I met him was just insane. Not in the same insane of like, you know, just like eagles come screaming down and fire and flashes and light and everything. Just like, I worked very hard to not be seen by anybody whenever I went to St. John for the very, very first time. My mom asked me to go, because I hadn't been going for a long time. And she was like, there's a student center here, you should go. I said, no, that's stupid. And I like to think that she told me like, well, I made you so you'll go. And that's why I agreed to go one time. Uh-huh. But so I agreed to go one time so I can just tell my mom I went, I tried it. I'm good. So I went in through the back door and like ran smack dab into Focus Missionary. And like, it just took off from there. It wasn't like this pontificating of this is what the church does, this is what church teaches, this is Catholicism, you need to stop doing this, that, and this, that. It was just like an invitation to relationship that I had not experienced yet. And like a display of the faith lived joyfully, but still reverently and devoutly, that I had never experienced. And it wasn't like a, you need to do this. It was more of a, like, come and see this. And it just changed the course of my life.
That is such a good story.
Not everybody can look to a single moment as this is when it all changed.
Yeah. Like
you had that.
That meeting right there in that hallway, like this back hallway behind the kitchen, you know, like where the back exit was. That's like, that was where course of life completely changed. Mm. There's a lot of other stuff that happened after that. You know, it was a very rocky road to get to, like faith again.
Yeah.
But like that was.
So when you met him, did he immediately say, do you want to come to a Bible study? Or did he?
No, he invited me to a pool party.
All right.
Okay. And I was like, that's what I'm here for, man. I came here to party. Yeah. Let's go. And yeah, I got invited to a pool party. And there's a, that was the first thing I got invited to, was just a pool party.
Mm-hmm. What a great evangelization opportunity, you know, that he didn't invite you first to a Bible study. You probably would have been like, oh, sorry, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Well, everybody likes to swim.
Yeah, I assume everybody loves swimming. Those pool parties. Yeah.
I didn't know if it was billiards or swimming. So, yeah. Nice. Well, that is awesome. So, what was it about? What happened next? What happened at the OSU Student Center? That's great.
Yeah. So, OSU St. John's Student Center was just a greenhouse of Catholicism. I can it's the best way I can explain it. It's a lot of my friends that I'm still very close with from there. Like whenever we look back at that time, we're just like, St. John was just a greenhouse. Like, you know, in the same way that plants, whenever like they're growing and whatnot, you want to shelter them from the elements and everything and make sure that they have the prime, like just environment to grow and develop like very healthily. Mm-hmm. That was St. John for us. Right. Mm-hmm. Like we all just came there and then the culture on college campuses is just wild, and there's so much going on that it just can really cloud someone's mind and really just kind of like harm them ultimately. Yeah. St. John, just regular exposure to the sacraments, invitation to relationship, and it was just very authentic and just people sharing life together, but all centered around the Catholic faith, which was... there's so much that happened that, like, that I'm trying to encapsulate into like just one like kind of synopsis, but that's really the best way I can explain it. It's just like, it's just a series of multiple young Catholic people just sharing the faith together and living life together in a very authentic way that no one gets to experience really anymore, like outside in the world. So
I know that is just the gift of being on a college campus, of having that little, very small, tight community. And there's opportunity for that. Sometimes parishes, it's a little bit trickier. But so you go to the pool party, you slowly, do you start coming back to church at that point?
Yeah. So I went to this pool party, and he, while I'm there, like I'm hanging out with everybody, I'm like, these guys are Catholic, but they're fun.
Yeah.
No one's trying to tell me how to live my life right now. And then I met a girl there, and she asked me if I was going to adoration. And I was like, I hadn't been to adoration in I don't know how long. I wasn't even sure what the Eucharist was at that point. I'm sure I'd been told in youth group and, you know, my RE classes growing up, like, this is what the Eucharist is. And I was probably just like, yeah, okay. And, but I got invited to adoration and by this girl, and I thought she was super cute. And, you know, my, again, my entire goal was to party, have fun, like chase girls and graduate with a degree one day. And so this cute girl invites me to adoration. I was like, absolutely, I will be there. And I ended up going to adoration for like every single weekday for a month straight.
Wow.
Because this girl invited me, and I had no idea what was happening. But like, at first I thought, I started experiencing this joy and this peace in my life whenever I was there that I hadn't experienced for a long time. And I was just like, it has to be this girl. This girl is just like, she's my light. She's my world. She's like just bringing peace into my life. And then like a month into this, she catches me after a student dinner or something in the evening. And she goes, yeah, so this just isn't going to work. Like, I don't really think of you that way. And I was like, oh no.
Friend zoned,
man. Yeah. And so then, but at that point, like everybody had already established like all their drinking buddies and all their like party friends and stuff. And I'd spent my entire like first month or so of college at OSU hanging out with a bunch of Catholics and going to church. And I was like, crap, I have nowhere else to go.
Right.
And so I just kept hanging out with them because it was all I knew. And that was my routine at that point. And I expected that the participating in like the sacrament of like adoration at that point, like I fully expected it to completely change. I was like, it's going to be boring now. It's going to suck. Like the peace is going to be gone. Yeah. There's going to be sadness because she's up there. I'm back here.
Yeah.
And I got in there and I was like, wait, it's still here.
Yeah.
And like that peace and joy like was still there. And I was like, all right, I have no idea what this is, but I love it.
Yeah.
You know? And so at that point, whoop, there goes my jacket. At that point, I like kind of started asking to be more involved with things, started getting more like invited to things, like Bible studies and, discipleship and whatnot. And it really just kind of snowballed from there. Like my interest and my, involvement just like compounded to the point where, I started like helping lead student retreats, you know, leading Bible studies or participating in Bible studies in a more leadership, way. And yeah, I just got to this point where I wanted to be a focused missionary to kind of like repay the favor that Colin had given, done for me, you know, by like investing in me, like relationship wise, for other people. I ultimately got turned down by Focus. And I was like, you know what? What if we just shift this viewpoint like further down and do it for high school kids? So the Focus kids don't have to work so hard to get them back in. We just like build them up over there and came back and did the Catholic Charities gig for a little bit. And I was like, reached out to Sarah Jameson, my now current boss. And I asked her, is there a youth minister job open? I would like to do this for the kids. And she was like, no. I was like, ah, crap.
Yeah.
And a couple months later, she came back and she said, there's actually a spot at St. Henry in Owosso. Yeah. I was like, I have no idea where that is. and it just kind of took off from there. But
that's amazing.
It's kind of a rough synopsis there. But
yeah.
That's how you ended up I don't know, your faith grew, you got interested in doing mm-hmm. ministry, got an opportunity to do that in Owosso, and now you're the, well, what is your official title? The
Coordinator of Youth Ministries.
Youth Ministries, okay. Yeah. So, what do you do? What does a coordinator of youth ministries in the Diocese of Tulsa and Eastern Oklahoma like?
Right, yeah. So whenever I first got this job, I reached out to a lot of the priests and a lot of the youth ministers around the diocese just to kind of like ask them, you know, like what are some spots that we can grow in? What are some spots that we can make, you know, do better? And one of the things that I heard the most from everybody was, well, we don't even know, like, what do you guys do? And I was like, oh, like they asked, do you do youth ministry? Mm-hmm. Do you support youth ministry? And it was, so the answer to the question is like, yes, we do youth ministry and we also support youth ministry. Ideally though, like the main way that we do that is we try and support youth ministers to achieve the three goals of the USCCB's Renewing the Vision, which is a document that they set forth back in the 90s, I believe. Do you remember this?
It was a long time ago.
Okay.
I was young. I had hair.
You probably, but yeah.
But refresh my memory. What were the three goals?
Yeah, yeah. So if I don't have them written down in front of me. So I'm going to try my best to like kind of paraphrase
them. We can link to it in the show notes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So it's a great document that really kind of like talks about what Catholic youth ministry should be geared towards. Like, what are the goals, right? Because we have two extremes in the diocese of where youth ministry either goes to lecture hall, where kids get like talked at about, you know, this is the catechism, this is the prayers, these are the things that you do.
It's like school.
Yeah, it's like school after 8 hours of school.
Yeah.
But the only difference between this school and this school is they get a diploma, what's it take to college and go live life and stuff. And this one's like, oh, you get a candle.
Yeah.
At like confirmation
chips
or something.
And pop.
Yeah, we get chips and soda and stuff, you know, and it's like, okay, well, this is fun, I guess. Or so like you have that extreme, or you have the other extreme where it's like youth groups turn into like a Catholic boys and girls club. Where, they play games and they just kind of hang out and then maybe talk about Jesus for 10 minutes and then they kind of just go off into which is like not really too different from the world, and there's less rules in the world, so they prefer that one. So the USCCB's Renewing the Vision basically says that all youth ministry efforts should be ordered toward or geared towards succeeding of three goals. One of them being drawing Catholic youth and young adults into responsible participation in the life of the church, to, you know, give them license and authority to live as disciples of Christ.
Yeah.
And then three, to foster their personal and spiritual growth. So those three goals right there. And so that's like what all youth ministry should be geared toward. And so all in all, majority of the things that we do in the youth office is geared towards that. There's a lot of restructuring that we're doing to try and better achieve that and to help youth ministers achieve those goals themselves. But all in all, like that's what the youth office does.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it must be a challenge because the Diocese of Tulsa and Eastern Oklahoma is approximately the size of the country of England. It is.
Is it really?
It really is. And yet, you know, we've got 70,000, 90,000 Catholics spread pretty far.
Yeah, more or less.
So what is the state of youth ministry? If you, I know you're making the rounds to visit everyone, you know, in some of the really far rural parishes, that has to be a challenge for those youth ministers.
Well, it'd be kind of like, and they might only have seven Catholic kids, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of like Yeah, no, that's a great question. So yeah, the diocese, it has approximately like 63,000 Catholics. That was the last number I saw.
Okay.
And we make up about a third of the entire population of Eastern Oklahoma. And whenever in the metro, you know, in the Tulsa metro area, like, so the Tulsa North Vicariate and Tulsa South Vicariate, you look around, you go to church and you're like, oh, there's people everywhere. Yeah. So you have Catholicism. It's great. Look at all these youth. Mm-hmm. And then you just get like 30 minutes outside of Tulsa city limits, or like an hour out of Tulsa city limits. And, you're like, wait, where is everybody?
Yeah.
And, cause you get further and further out and it just gets very, very sparse very, very quickly. And so, back in January, 2024, I went on a road trip around the entire diocese, you know, meeting with all the youth ministers that I could get a hold of, in one room to, you know, just talk with them and see like, how are things going and try and get them on board with like, hey, these are the things that we're planning for the future. What do you guys think? I'd love to have you guys on board with this. And I would have like two or three youth ministers from the entire vicariate in that room. Just because like, not for any particular reason, just beyond, you know, whenever the pandemic happened, before, like, so youth ministry in rural areas has always been hard,
yeah. right?
Just because, you know, there's not a lot of resources. There's not a lot of people. It's predominantly Protestant and mm-hmm. like vastly. But with, you know, the pandemic and everything shutting down the world, communities just like collapsed in on themselves, and some just never popped back up. And there are some parishes that are offering, you know, youth ministry or religious education for the first time since
okay.
Like that happened. So everything, like the Tulsa Metro was very quick to bounce back, uh-huh. but the rural areas really kind of like were very, very slow to open back up. And so because of that, a lot of the youth just kind of slipped through the cracks, or they yeah. just kind of like fell away.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it is very tough out yeah. there.
I noticed you have like the, is it the JCYC or I'm not sure. I don't know if that's what it's called anymore. You have a diocesan youth conference coming up. Mm. Would that be to target kind of some of those outlying?
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things that we do to try and support youth ministries in the diocese, you know, especially those rural ones that may not have the resources to go to like Steubenville or Benedictine or anything like that. The Benedictine Catholic Youth Conference, they call it BCYC, which gets confused with our DCYC oh, sure. sometimes. So I just sure. call it Benedictine. But yeah, so some of the things that we do is we put on these events like DCYC, Discipleship Catholic Youth Conference, or JCYC. And we offer it at a much, much smaller price tag so that they can come and participate in this and only have to drive 2 to 3 hours,
right?
Maybe that rather than pay hundreds of dollars and then drive to Ohio or Missouri or yeah. anywhere else. So our most, the closest one that we have coming up is JCYC coming up in March, on March, Saturday, March 9th. And that is geared towards, you know, providing these kids that might not have the opportunity to go to something bigger, like to experience something similar. Maybe not to the same scale, because mm-hmm. we are a missionary diocese and we yeah. have our limits, yeah. but providing something similar that they can come together and see beyond just their small parish of like 5-7 right. kids. You know, there are others like you. There are others that are Catholic in the world. And it's not just, you know, Antlers or Atoka or anything right. else like that, you know. There's just the first two that came to mind. I'm not trying to like pinpoint anyone specifically, yeah. but yeah, so that's like one of the reasons why we put those on. Is
but that's a great service that the diocese can offer to do something bigger than any one parish could do. Even yeah. the big city parishes couldn't necessarily pull off something yeah. like that. So JCYC stands for Junior High Catholic Youth Conference?
Yeah, Junior Catholic Youth Conference, yeah.
Gotcha.
But junior high, basically, yeah. yeah.
So what do you do at a typical JCYC?
Yeah. So we primarily, so... as with every, like, you know, Steubenville and everything else mm-hmm. like that, a lot of these things are called like win events where yeah. you try and like you win the hearts of these kids that come and participate. So we basically just try and do that. And we try and just like show them, you know, it, you can be Catholic and still have fun. You can still be Catholic and like have a good time. And there are people your age that are doing these things as well. But the central focus that we're really focusing on is just like the proclamation of the gospel mm-hmm. to them. Because, you know, that is the core, and that is like where these things have to start. And the best way to win people over to like this is the proclamation of the gospel. And yeah. that's how Catholicism spread throughout yeah. all the world. Right. And so we just proclaim the gospel through, you know, talks, and then mm-hmm. there's music and games as well. And just yeah. like sharing in fellowship and community, like much like how, you know, Focus does it as well. Yeah. Maybe in a bit more condensed day uh-huh. version, but try uh-huh. and just like draw them into fellowship with each other and showing each other like, you know, this is what life is supposed to be, is sharing it with those around yeah. you, the people in your area.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much a short way to
okay.
say that. But
well, and we can put that in the show notes as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Please do. Sign up.
Yeah.
You know, I noticed we should probably start to transition over to how you pray. And I was kind of...
You're just too interesting.
I know.
Oh, thank you.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
But you pray.
Yeah,
I do pray. I do.
Yeah, that you were impacted by Focus. And you talked about the goal of JCYC to proclaim the gospel, to help these kids to develop... lives of faith, lives of prayer. Yeah. And so I'm sure you have to probably, I don't know, tell us about, do you pray? How do you pray? What is a day in the life of Dustin Sanford look
yes.
like? Do you pray in the morning, at night? So what kind of prayer draws your heart?
Yeah, so my prayer life I've never had a very consistent, like, this is the one method that I've stuck to every single day for, you know, the past 20 years or anything like that. Granted, 20 years would be kind of not a great way to say it because I was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
but like, the way that I pray, whenever I first started, I should say, I'll start there. Father Vince actually gave me my first rosary upon reverting, you know, and that was the way that I kind of got back into praying, was through the rosary. And it was just a series of, you know, repeating these like rote prayers, the Hail Marys and the Our Fathers over and over. I didn't know the mysteries or anything. And I started like noticing like, all right, there's some, a lot of peace that comes from this and I don't really understand it. But, so I started with the rosary and I saw just a lot of fruit come from it by repeating it as often as I possibly could, in my life. And then through participation with Focus and different like, formation programs that they had, like I learned about, you know, prayer is not this set formula. It's not the set form. There's no right or wrong. Well, there is a wrong way to do it and there is a right way to do it, but it's more of like a, orientation of the heart rather than like a, you kneel this way at this angle with your hands at this position. And then you say X, Y, Z things. So it really transformed because I had this very rigid view of prayer whenever I first came back of this is what it is.
Yeah.
And then upon learning, like actually it's, like as long as you just need to open yourself up to the Lord and whatever he's inviting you into in that moment, it's not like you're not the first mover. You're accepting an invitation, from the Lord to like come into relationship with him at this moment. And so from whenever I first came back to the church in 2016 to now, it's gone from very rigid, you have to say it this way, to like, it's very conversational throughout the day. And I do a morning offering, as many mornings as I can remember upon waking up. There are some days where I miss, but I do a morning offering every morning or I try to, you know, I'm human and I fail. But I kind of like throughout the day, just like talk to the Lord about, you know, these are the things that are going on. Lord, I don't get this. Please help me. Like, what is your will in this? And then as well as, you know, trying to find at least 30 minutes of silence a day, which is very difficult, in the world, but, you know, trying to find that 30 minutes of just silence to sit in and try and hear what the Lord is trying to say to me, is really what my prayer life kind of condenses down to at the end of the day. There are some days where in that silence, I pray the rosary or I do a little, so like, Lectio Divina or, anything else, but for the most part, it's very fluid. It's undergone a lot of transformation in the past few years, but ultimately I just, in my prayer life, I don't really subscribe to a one singular method. I just try and like listen to what the Lord has prompted me to.
But you are a deep guy. I mean, in college you were doing adoration. You're talking about praying the rosary and even now, you know, 30 minutes of silence. You open up and spend some time with the Lord in prayer.
I try to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I try to as much as I can, you know, I'm still like kind of wretched most days, but.
I love your honesty because when you were saying I do the morning offering, I was like nodding my head. Yeah, me too. And you're like, but I don't always remember every day. And I was like, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Try to open
Join the club.
I think that's like the biggest thing to kind of share with youth particularly. And that's why I try and be as honest as possible with the people that I talk to about the faith and like practice and everything is that you're not going to be perfect at it. You know, there's a great talk by Fulton Sheen, Archbishop Fulton Sheen. I forget which one it was where he kind of talks about like, you think that these saints like became saints, like they immediately, like they were just born with this. It's like, no, they had to work really hard at this. Yeah. This was a gift like cultivated and accepted slowly over time. And like, that's what I'm trying to do. Like, I want to be Saint Dustin Sanford one day, and I want my wife to be Saint Abby Sanford and my son to be like Saint Tobias Sanford, you know? But for like, it's just a daily, like, you know.
Yeah. So been a time in your life. I know, I mean, it sounds like we always ask all our guests, has there been a time in your life when it's been difficult to pray? So it sounds like, you know, you did adoration, like Mike was saying, that you really kind of leaned into the rosary. Now it's just sort of more of a natural turning towards God. Was there ever a time when you wished you could pray, but you struggled?
Oh yeah. Like, it's a weekly occurrence. I think that unless they're like just completely like overtaken by the Lord that I don't think there's a single person on the planet that is like, it's not hard to pray at all. Like I'd be like, you are a liar because it is so hard to pray. There are days where prayer is just super hard and it's, I mean, starting out, it was really difficult, especially because, you know, that's a skill and that's a habit you got to cultivate. But, like, there are days where there's just so much going on, like, either with, like, youth office stuff or family stuff or just personally in my own head where it's just, like, I don't want to pray and, like, I'd rather be doing this. But, like, it's just kind of, like, the reminder of I need to turn back to, like, the source of which my life came from and which I hopefully will return to one day. And like, that's the best thing I can do. And some days I'm really good about that. And some days I'm not, but yeah, no, prayer is hard. Yeah. Just in general.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I've heard that thing that, there's no bad prayer except when you choose not to pray.
Exactly. The only bad prayer is a prayer not said.
Yeah. Prayer not said. Yeah. That's right. That's another way. Well, this has just been wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you. So you just exude joy.
Yeah.
And energy. It's inspiring.
I think the kids would be drawn to that for sure. So we always ask our guests if they have one prayer intention that you would like all of our listeners to join you in praying for. What would that be?
Ooh, I would love it if everyone would join me in praying for, you know, just the evangelization of youth in Eastern Oklahoma, as well as for, you know, just the rebuilding and restructuring of youth ministry in the diocese. Just because there's a lot of work we need to do to get everyone back on the same page and reoriented towards the mission of evangelizing the people of Eastern Oklahoma. So
excellent. Well, would you lead us in a glory be?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Great job.
Glory Be is a production of the Office of Communications at the Church of St. Mary. I'm your producer, Mike Malcolm. See you next week.
To find the entire catalog from the Glory Be podcast, you can follow them on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts.